This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFK. If you're not already a member, consider joining with us and keep free speech alive.
Welcome to Digital Village. My name is Rick Allen, along with my co-Velvet Revolutionary.
Sort of. I don't know if I'm an official member of anything, but...
Well, we're not official members of every... We wouldn't belong to a club that had us as a member.
Yes. Groucho and us, yes. Dorian Barron says, good morning, Rick. Good morning, everyone. And he just throws these at me. I'm not quite sure what's going on.
I know. I'd like to surprise Dorian. In case you haven't figured that out over the last 15 years of our being on the air.
This is Digital Village.
KPFK's weekly show about computing and the Internet and all the cyberculture we can shove down your ears.
And we are going to have an actual Velvet Revolutionary on today.
We are.
Oh, God, we're going to have the CIA tuning in already.
Oh, boy. Brad Friedman is going to be here.
Of the Brad blog, coincidentally or not.
Yeah, and you know...
And also velvetrevolution.us, which is another project of his.
Another arm of his growing body.
We're
going to talk about some of the things that we talked about way back when with Brad. That's why we originally had him on, was because of e-voting, and you know what? The e-voting...
It's just a gift that keeps on giving.
It is.
And we got lots more to talk about with Brad, too.
Yeah,
there's a lot of catching up. We haven't had him on for a few months, and how things keep on going on.
We're
going
to have a little expanded drug segment with Brad, and we're going to talk about tea.
We're not going to talk about a few things. We're not going to talk about the Muppets' 40th birthday, thank you very much.
Meep, meep, meep.
Speaking of which, we're not going to talk about Meepgate.
Meep.
What is Meepgate? Some high school back east, the kids decided it would be fun to start saying meep to each other from the Sesame Street, the Muppet character, actually.
Yeah.
Now the principal's banned.
Meeping.
You're going to get suspended if you meep. And an online blogger, just so we can talk about it here on the air, but we're not talking.
No,
about,
we're
not
this
talking
is what
about
we're
talking.
Not talking about.
An online blogger sent the assistant principal a one-word message. I think you can guess what it was. Meep. And the assistant principal wrote back saying, well, he has forwarded the message on to the local police constabulary.
Yeah, because they don't have anything better to do than to be word...
We're not going to talk about
word cops.
We're not going to talk about James Cameron's Avatar, because we're going to hear about it everywhere else.
Wow.
We might talk about it later, though. Not today.
Oh, man.
We're not going to talk about Glenn Beck.
Good.
Except to say,
he
lost.
He lost? Aw, poor baby.
Poor guy.
He lost.
I bet he's crying right now about it.
He lost the suit above the suit with the sight that basically was named after.
Glenn Beck did something and did something to a young girl in 1990.com.
Uh-huh.
If you really want to find out, you can.
Yeah, you can Google that
quite
easily.
Anyway, he filed suit for defamation of character against the person who registered the website. Judge threw it out, said, ha, ha, ha.
Yes, the reason is, the reasoning behind the guy who did the site was he was showing how Glenn Beck uses all those techniques Obama isn't really a social racist.
Is he?
Is he?
Moments away.
We have the one and only Brad Friedman from bradblog.com.
We do?
Yes.
Oh, man, this is going to be good.
Stay tuned.
Digital Village. Digital Village. Talk about it. Cyberculture. Cyberculture. Talk about it.
Welcome Welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. The Digital Village here on KTFK Los Angeles, 90.7 FM.
98.7 FM in beautiful downtown Santa Barbara and streaming across the universe at kpfk.org. My name is Rick Allen.
The dulcet tones of Rick Allen. My name is Doran Behrens. The dulcet tones of Doran Behrens.
And we are joined today by Brad Friedman.
Hiya, Brad.
Meep you both. By the way, on the way over here, I was listening to the radio, and I hear that there are questions about whether Glenn Beck raped and murdered a young girl in 1990.
Well, there was some suggestion that maybe that happened.
There are questions that have not been answered. I'm just questioning, asking questions.
He was trying to shut down that information.
What?
But he lost the lawsuit.
Has he denied? Because I've got a phone set up in my house that he has not yet called to tell me whether or not these charges are true.
Yeah, Brad, it's good to have you back.
Good to be back.
Well, we're starting a little bit late, so let's dive right into it if we can.
Let's pick up where we left off.
Yeah, well, we talked about so many things, but actually, when we first, way back when, in the old days when we first began talking to you, it was almost always about you voting.
Yeah.
Like I said, we've expanded well beyond that now with you and Desi. But back to the e-voting, it continues to give and give.
Well, yes, our electoral system continues to haunt our democracy, I'm sorry to say. Of late, we had an election a couple of weeks ago, as you know. It did not go horribly across the country. It did go horribly.
Despite what you heard in the press.
That's right, where they said it all went very, very smoothly. No problems here. Of course, once again, you know, if you're one of those voters who couldn't vote because the machines wouldn't start up at all, it didn't go so well. And then finally, if you're a voter who is forced to rely on these faith-based voting machines that may be right, may be wrong.
Faith-based voting.
Well, that's what we now have, you know, where you just have to. And I'm not talking just about the touchscreens, by the way. I'm talking about you got a paper ballot, you put your mark on it, and then you send it off to the magical election fairies. They run it through some machine.
And it counts it for you.
Maybe does it?
Well,
does
that's
it?
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And so we've got our alleged democracy. And, you know, I've been talking lately. The fact is, I wrote an editorial recently for Commonweal Institute, where I'm now a fellow, called Democracy's Gold Standard. Now, you know, you hear so much about, people are no good. They can't count votes. It's human error. Right? But when you have your closest elections, when you really, really need to know the proper results of an election, mm-hmm. what do? You hand count the ballots,
exactly.
Don't you?
Now,
so hand counting ballots is absolutely no good unless you actually need to know who won the election. So why don't we just start there in the first place? Why don't we just count the damn ballots at the polling place with everybody watching, you know?
I've said this before. Yeah. When I first entered this conversation those many years ago, I thought of e-voting, even internet voting, as mm-hmm. inevitable. And so it's just a matter of getting it right. As I've learned more and more and more and more and more about this, and I've said this on the air, I'm convinced now that it has to be, you know, crayons and paper and clear plastic boxes. Or something close to that, and then a bunch of people sitting around afterwards and counting them by hand.
Well, and that's because you people here at Digital Village apparently are complete and utter Luddites. Apparently, you hate computers. You're afraid of technology and progress. That was the argument, of course, they used to make. And they're still, we're beginning to hear it again now because there is a renewed push. It's horrible to see, frankly. It's like whack-a-mole. There is a new push now for internet voting. And where you had, originally, you remember back with the e-voting, they said that the reason we really have to do this is because the disabled, they need these computers. They need to be able to vote on computers.
Right.
Blind people, for some reason, need touchscreen machines that they can't see anyway. All right. This was the argument, and if you were against it, it was because you hated the disabled.
Right.
Well, they've got a new gimmick going on, and it's for internet. The push now for internet voting, what they're doing is they've included it actually in one of the recent military bills that they're going to have pilot programs for internet voting for the military overseas.
Yeah, I've heard about this. Haven't they even done some test votes or something?
They have begun doing some tests. It's, you know, completely non-transparent. It's completely hackable. But if you're against it, it's not because you hate the disabled. This time it's because you hate the troops.
Yeah.
And you don't want
them
to vote.
I don't support them voting.
You know, they've got these gimmicks one after another. So it's like whack-a-mole with internet voting. Now we've got the other whack-a-mole here is open source, which is coming
That's
in.
That's good, right? We've been talking about this for a long time.
Only,
have we been wrong?
Yeah, well, yeah. Open source is good for voting. only if you like secret vote counting that you can review the source of a few days before and hope and pray that maybe it's the same source that's on the machine the day of the vote.
I think we're talking about something other than what. So what is this that we're talking
about?
Well,
it's troubling because I was at an event recently with Deborah Bowen, our Secretary of State, with Dean Logan, the registrar here in L.A. County, the largest voting jurisdiction in the nation. L.A. County is looking for a new voting system. They're all looking to open source as if, well, it's transparent, so it must be better. Well, you know, needless to say, if you're going to use computers in your voting system, the more transparent, the better. Open source, yes, is more transparent. Yes. But it also gives you, a false sense of security on all kinds of levels. The ballots are still secretly counted. You have to presume the machines are correct. You have to presume the software is correct. You have to presume the software is the same software that was reviewed by somebody, maybe, you know, some computer scientist, in the days before the election. It's just another panacea to avoid doing what we need to do, which is having our own self-governance to count, have citizens count their own ballots, oversee what's going on, use video cameras so everybody can check it again.
Well, this goes back to what you said before in the past. If it's not just having the right source code or the right machine, that you need follow-up, you need systems in place that are not only realistic but are effective.
You need to be able to have oversight,
citizen
oversight. If you can't have citizen oversight, and now, mind you, Deborah Bowen has been one of the great champions for e-voting in the nation, frankly. But here she is out, again, pushing for open source. That may be a solution, but I would argue in the meantime, before you spend another gazillion dollars to go to all new voting systems that may have the same problem that the old ones do, how about we do a pilot program for hand-counting paper ballots? Let's do our due diligence. Count a few, try it. Try it out in a few precincts. I'm not trying to do what the voting machine companies did to say, trust me, hand counting will work perfectly. There'll be no problems. I'm saying, let's do pilot programs. Let's gather data. Let's see how accurate it is. Let's see how quickly it can be done.
Well, that's been the big argument, especially from the media, is, people want the results now.
They can have the results now. Hand counting in New Hampshire, for example, where 40% of the precincts are hand counted, and the other 60% are counted by Diebold. In many of those hand-counted precincts, the results come in before the machine-counted precincts. So, when you're talking about doing it at the precinct level, you're not talking about all that many ballots. It can be done in a couple hours. It can be done in time for the nightly news.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to ask about the companies themselves. We talked about Diebold, which is now Premier or whatever.
No. Diebold is now, it became Premier. Now it's been purchased by ES&S.
Okay, where are we now with all the manufacturers? Because I know there's been some incest, if you will.
They'll change their name to
protect
the guilty.
Incest? That's true. Change their name to... Well, what they've done is ES&S, the world's largest voting machine company, has now swallowed up Diebold, which, Doran, you're right, they had changed their name to Premier so nobody would possibly notice it was still Diebold.
Kind of like Black One.
Right. Who? What? You mean... Oh, Z! So they had...
But back to Diebold and ES&S.
ES&S had purchased Diebold, or Diebold's election division that had called itself Premier. So now ES&S will control somewhere between 70 and 80% of every vote cast in America will be controlled by a single private company for whom there is no oversight. And by the way, for all that we've heard about Diebold, which has really become the whipping boy in this e-voting stuff, these other companies, and there was four major companies, now there's just three.
Who are those?
They're as bad as or worse than Diebold. ES&S is run like the mafia. These guys are absolutely thugs.
Is that Ross Perot's company?
No.
Okay.
No, actually, Chuck Hagel was the Republican, yeah. former Republican senator, was one of the board members of ESNS.
And he kept getting elected, too.
Well, suddenly elected on ESNS machines for the first time in Nebraska after having years of Democratic control of that seat. But that's a coincidence. But nonetheless, So
there's other companies.
These other companies are very small and almost out of business themselves. Sequoia would be now the second largest company, who, by the way, has announced they've got open source voting software coming. This is after years of saying they could not release their source code because it would be a security threat to the world. And now they see the writing on the wall. They're about to go out of business anyway because they have no cash on hand. They have been leveraging just everything to even stay in business. And then you've got the even smaller than them, Hart InterCivic. And that's really all there is left. So this demon merger of ESNS and Diebold is being challenged. A lot of complaints have been filed. I would suggest folks go to blackboxvoting.org, right. where she has made it easy to fill out an antitrust complaint against this merger.
This is Bev Harris.
Bev Harris, right. Chuck Schumer, Senator, has asked the DOJ to investigate it. Apparently they are. And we've just got to stop this corporatization of our public elections.
And
we're
10
years down the road from the 2000 debacle, which was somewhat caused. Well, it was caused by electronics, but not the voting machine. But anyway, my point is we're a decade down since this really became a highlight, front page news.
And we've learned nothing.
It seems to be.
We have, but
apparently the people in power haven't.
That was going to be my point. One of the things we need to do, speaking of Deborah Bowen, who we love, politicians need to be educated. They seem to come up with these great ideas when they are clueless about the technology.
Well, in the case of Deborah Bowen, obviously you can't call her clueless about the technology. She knows. That said, she discovered, actually after some citizens did a transparency project up in Humboldt, and they discovered that a Diebold optical scan system was dumping hundreds of ballots without notification to anybody. It was just deleting them.
Yep.
She did an investigation properly, decertified that software, that particular version of the software, but in the process discovered... by Diebold's own admission, that every single version of their software, used, by the way, in 34 states and still used around the state of California, has either that problem or similar ones where ballots can be deleted without the administrator being notified. You can change the audit logs, which were supposed to be the permanent record of what went on in the machines if there was any problems. You can go in there and just hit the delete button. Deborah Bowen has not decertified all of those machines that have those same bugs. And I heard you guys, thank you very much for mentioning my organization, VelvetRevolution.us. We have launched a campaign called DieboldReturnOurMoney.com, where we are saying, Diebold, you have enjoyed $100 million at least in California taxpayer dollars over the years for faulty voting machines that don't work, that don't do what they're supposed to, and you knew about it. Give the taxpayers of California their money back. Go to DieboldReturnOurMoney.com. But we're also calling on Deborah Bowen to decertify every Diebold machine in this state and calling on Attorney General Jerry Brown to begin a criminal investigation because these people knew they purposely defrauded the California taxpayers.
We've got to move on. But before, what does she say? I'm assuming you've asked or somebody's asked her why?
Well, I have been, frankly, asking her office for a response now. For about a month.
Okay.
They've promised me one. They have yet to give me one. Okay. She deserves to give the people of California. So, call the Secretary of State and ask them what their response is, why they haven't decertified these machines, and then sign our petition at DieboldReturnOurMoney.com.
Right. We just want to remind you, you're listening to Digital Village here on KPFK 90.7 FM in SoCal.
Yes, right. And 98.7 FM up in Santa Barbara County. My name is Doran Behrens.
My name is Rick Allen, and we're being streamed as we speak at kpfk.org, and there's also archived there. But we're speaking with Brad Friedman of bradblog.com and velvetrevolution.us. And Brad, we're going to switch gears just a little bit here because you were at the local T Tea party. Tea bagger.
Tea baggery. Tea bag fest.
Yes, the fest of the tea bagger.
Yes, the kickoff last week of the big national tour.
And what it, you know, and
hundreds
it,
of thousands, no doubt.
Well, there was, as I say in the video, hundred were there.
So there were a couple hundred tea baggers. Then the other side, there were about 20 or 30 anti baggers. At this rally in, what it was, Griffith Park?
In Griffith Park. The kickoff
don't
days.
Don't get us in trouble with the FCC, okay?
The big, they call themselves teabaggers. All we're doing is reporting. The big kickoff for the new Tea Party Express 2 national tour,
right.
Countdown to Judgment
now,
Day.
Now, what gets me is that we're going to play a little clip of you interviewing somebody. Now, this interview, listeners, Brad interviewed a lot of people, and basically this is the same kind of response. It's a how did you put it earlier, Dorn, blissfully ignorant?
They enjoy their ignorance. They're ignorant, but they don't care.
Yeah.
They don't know, they don't care.
All right. We're going to play a clip, just about 3 minutes here, of Brad interviewing one, especially a guy with a list.
Barack Hussein Obama, do America a favor and resign? Why should he resign?
Why shouldn't he? This guy's a socialist. He wants to take our freedom, take away our liberty.
But tell us all the freedoms that Barack Obama has taken away. Listen to this.
Go ahead, tell us. Okay, wait a minute, I got to...
No, all of these are the freedoms that Barack Obama has taken away and should resign. And here now, some of those freedoms. Give it to him.
For one thing, he wants to take away our freedom of speech.
He does?
Absolutely. Instead of fighting in Afghanistan, he's over here fighting against FNC, Fox News Channel. So
how does he want to take away their freedom of speech? Go ahead, tell them how he's taking away their freedom of speech.
By turning them off. By just saying, you know what? We can't have free speech. We're going to turn you off. If it's not my way, it's a highway. But
Barack Obama has turned off FNC, Fox News?
No. But if he could, he would.
He's not taking away freedom of speech.
Well, he sure would love to. He would sure love to take away the freedom of speech.
Okay, so he hasn't taken away freedom of speech.
He has not. But
tell us all the freedoms that Barack Hussein Obama has taken away. Get a load of this.
Go ahead, tell him all the freedoms.
Well, for one thing, he's taken over the car industry. If it was up to him, we'd be driving this little.
He's taken away the freedom for GM to declare to go out of business.
Right,
is what he's
right,
done.
Right.
He's taken away the freedom for those workers to lose their job, basically. Right.
That's right. And. He's taking away the people, you know, that want to make a lot of money. It's like they want to tax the devil out of them, you know.
But he's lowered, actually, 85% of Americans' taxes, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Sure he has.
But he has, hasn't he?
I don't think so. Absolutely not. No.
If you made less than $250,000, he's lowered your taxes.
Yeah, right. That's what he says, but he's a liar.
But that's what he did do, though, didn't he?
No.
I mean, because I want to get a list of all the freedoms that he's taken away. So... The freedom of speech he hasn't done, and the tax thing, I don't think, yet, right?
All right.
But what are the freedoms? Here's a list of the freedoms that Barack Hussein Obama has taken away.
If this man could take away all of our freedoms, I think he would take away a freedom to do anything and everything.
Thank you very much for your time and for speaking up.
I could... I'm sorry, I could listen to that in the background. I think Comedy Central has a new idea they can use.
Exactly, yeah. When are you going to be on Jon Stewart?
When they invite me, I'll be there, as you know.
Okay, so once again, for people who just tuned in, what was it that we just heard?
Our visit to the kickoff day for the big National Tea Party Express tour. Put together a little short documentary film interviewing the folks, finding out why they're so angry, what they're so angry about, or at least trying to. You can check it out, of course, at bradblog.com or at YouTube. Just search for Rise of the Teabags.
Be sure to Obama, you know, takes away your freedom.
Do it quickly, right. Before he shuts it down. Rise of the Teabags. I think you will enjoy our short documentary.
What was interesting to me also... on a more serious note, I don't understand this. There were a couple hundred of the tea baggers, mm-hmm. and then there were maybe 20, 25 of the anti-tea bagging protesters, and there were more cops than the anti-tea bagging protesters, and they were like, keep back, And they were all facing the anti teabag protest, yeah. But nobody was bothering the teabag protesters. I don't get it.
I didn't get it either. I was trying to figure it out because there was only about 20 or 30, I guess, counter protesters.
Right.
These are people who are in favor of reform and so forth. Yet there was about 30 different cops, at least, surrounding these folks, whereas the 200-300 teabag protesters had maybe, 5-10 cops around them. It was as if they were afraid that these peaceniks over there calling for peace and love and healthcare reform, we're going to somehow rush. It was very strange. And meanwhile, if you had to figure out, if you had to guess who was packing heat amongst those two groups, who do you suppose that would be? The teabaggers. What the hell are they looking at? Very strange. And that's why we tried to document it. And that's why I've called on others as these teabag protests and this tour is rolling forward. Get out there with your video camera. Talk to these people. Ask questions. Document what's going on. Because the folks on the network news are not doing it. They're not challenging these people and asking them the questions.
Well, your clip proved that it just takes that long. It takes 90 seconds for a network or any news organization, to figure out that whatever the concern is, it isn't what it's being presented.
Well, they give these guys these platforms to come out and say, why are you angry? Well, we're angry because Barack Hussein Obama has raised our taxes. And they go, okay, thank you very much. And they don't bother to follow up to say, no, actually, he's lowered your taxes. And, where did you get that information? Because then they would tell them, I got it from Fox News, Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh. It's got to be right. Call these folks out. Tell these stories. Don't just give them a platform to spew nonsense, debunked nonsense, without answering to it.
Now, I know some of these people. And, we've got, 2 minutes left?
Yeah.
And in their heart, they're not bad. They have concerns, and they believe things are wrong. How do we break through that, myopic?
These people have been dreadfully misinformed. You're right. A lot of these people are well-meaning. They don't know any better. They have been pushed into oncoming traffic by these cretins at the GOP who have told them this is a grassroots effort. It's not. By Fox News, who tells them that Barack Hussein Obama is shredding their constitution. He's not. George Bush certainly did for 8 years, and they didn't bother to tell these people. Had they told these people at that point, they would have been out there with pitchforks and torches, for the past 8 years. But they have been dreadfully misinformed. We must inform, reach out to these people, and let them know they are being used as chumps, pawns, and patsies by this by these wingnuts.
Well, I wish we had something else to talk about today.
There's never enough to talk about when I come on.
Brad Friedman, give our listeners a couple of URLs that they can go to if they want to find out more.
Go to bradblog.com while you're there. Plenty of there. But you look for Rise of the Teabags to see that film. Go over to DieboldReturnOurMoney.com, which is a Velvet Revolution campaign. Please join it. Make your voice heard so that the good guys in favor of transparent democracy win one for a change instead of the bad guys trying to fool America with their Fox Newsery and teabags.
Also, check out his Green News Report that he does with Desi Doyen.
Thank you. Green News Report. I'm sorry. greennews.bradblog.com.
Okay.
Yeah, Desi's great, too.
Yeah.
She is. We miss you, Desi.
Thanks again for coming down, Brad. That is it for this week's edition of Digital Village. Next week,
Ken Arletta, the one, the only. The famous, infamous author, and he's going to talk about Google. It's the end of the world as we know it.
You know it is. Thanks to and Master Control. Until next week, my name is Doran Barron.
My name is Rick Allen, and we will see you online.
Meep.
Cyberculture. Body, talk the body. Revolution will be digitized.